Dear brothers in Christ, so once again, thank our Lord for still counting us among the living and giving us the opportunity to discuss about His wonderful words of life. From last few days, we have been studying very, very important topics in the Bible. So today also, we're going to see one of the important topics in the Bible as to why God permits evil in this world. Seeing the conditions in this world, as soon as we entered this decade, we saw a massive epidemic. You see, the COVID, because of which the entire mankind was captivated in their house. And many such incidents which has been, rocking around the world. The great crash in the stock market and financial crisis is because of which the people, the laborers, had to leave to their hometown and suffer and starve. We have seen the buses full crowded. Various terrorist attacks, various problems in immigration where the children are separated from their parents and some children are even isolated, are even left by their parents just to die like that. While seeing all these conditions, Debutran, a question passes to our mind, why God is not stopping all these things? Why God is permitting all these things? So many people are suffering in various ways in this world. Why God is not stopping all this evil in this world, dear brethren? So, this is the question which everybody in this world has, each and every person in this world, seeing so many problems in this world, have the same question in their mind. Why God is permitting all these things? Why all this evil? Why these things are happening? You see, dear brethren, and some people, they even question God saying, oh Lord, don't you have eyes? Can't you see? Can't you hear? So dear brethren, why? Why all these things are happening? Many people who don't get their answer to the questions, they decide to better end the life instead of living in this world. When an earning person, suddenly passes away, the family has no way to go, and they, cry and put tears. The children will be in totally shock. And the only question that comes to our mind is that why God has taken away our loved one? Why this sudden things has happened in our life? Imagine, dear brethren, if only child in the family, if he passes away, the same question is asked by the parents. Oh Lord, why you don't have mercy? What wrong did my son do? What wrong did my child do that you have taken him? Why you have taken him away? Dear brethren, these are the questions that comes to everybody's mind. Imagine parents seeing their children dying in their hands, the pain in their heart, the lamentation, they put the question, why God? David, so many people have died in disasters, tsunamis, earthquakes, floods, accidents. Why? Why God doesn't stop all these things? Why there is a differentiation in the society? Why some is rich and some is poor? Why somebody has everything? Why somebody doesn't even have basic things to eat food? Why this difference? Why some people even starve to death? They even don't have proper water to drink. They don't even have the basic amenities, dear brethren. Why? Dear brethren, some people, they have everything. You see, even good studies also. They go to school, but some people, they can't even afford to go to school. Why this difference in society? Why somebody are having everything? Why somebody are lacking everything? Why these differences, Devdren? You see, the whole world, you see, has this question. Why? Why God has made all these things? Why so many differences? Dear brethren, the Bible says that the entire world is the creation of God. And we are all His family. We are all of God's family. That's what the Bible says. Let us read Ephesians 3:15. Ephesians 3:15. Can somebody read Ephesians 3:15? Abhishek brother.
Okay, I'll read. From whom the home family in heaven and earth is named.
See, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we are all part of God's family. Then why this difference in God's family? One is high, one is low. One is rich, one is poor. One is very educated, one is you see, illiterate. One has everything, other doesn't have anything. Why this difference? Dear brethren, just imagine if we have a family, you see, and if we have two children in our family, you see, if you have two kids, will we make such difference? Will we make one kid as a doctor and will we make one kid as a beggar? No, dear brother, we would never make it so. Being a parent, we will give our best to the children. That is what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, chapter 9 to 11. You see, which of you, when a son asks for bread, shall give him a stone? Which of you, if a son asks for the fish, will he give a serpent? You being evil. You see, no, what good things to give to your children? Doesn't the Heavenly Father know what good things he needs to give to your children? Dear brethren, then why God is not giving good for everybody? Why these differences, dear brethren? You see, why God is making partiality in this world? Why this differences in his own family? We are all God's family, dear brethren. This is the question which each and everybody in this world definitely would have got this question at least once in their lifetime. Seeing the condition of the world, seeing the problem, the sufferings in this world, definitely the whole world would have got this question, dear brethren. So, when we ask this question to somebody, the answer that is generally given is that it is the devil. God is not doing anything. It is the devil, Satan. He is the one who is doing all these things. He is the one who is doing evil. Okay. If Satan is the one who is doing evil, what is God doing? The Bible says the God of the Bible is the Almighty God. He has all power to restrain the devil. The Bible also clearly says that Satan is going to be bound in 1,000 years. Read Revelation 20, verse 2. Can somebody read Revelation chapter 20, verse 2?
Okay, I'll read. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years.
And bound him for 1,000 years. Dear brethren, you see, God has the power to bind Satan for 1,000 years. Why has he allowed Satan now? You see, if you ask the question, the same question again comes to the mind. Why God is allowing it? Why doesn't he bound Satan now itself? Dear brethren, again the same question comes. Why? So again, you know, some people tell, oh no, it is not the devil, it is God himself is doing. So God himself is doing evil, or God himself is doing good. What does God do evil? Does God have something to do with evil? Let us read Psalms 5, 4. Psalms 5, 4. Vinod, brother, can you read Psalms 5, 4? Okay, Emmanuel. Okay, read, brother.
Okay, sir, I will read Psalm 5, 4. For thou not a God that had pleasures in weakness, neither shall evil dwell with thee.
See,
Amen.
God doesn't has pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with him. So evil is not there with God at all. Then why will he do evil? You see, then again the question comes, why all these things in this world? You see, dear brethren, the same question was actually, which is searched by Gautam Buddha. You know, Gautam Siddhartha was his name. You see, Siddhartha, he was a prince in the palace of his father. His father never allowed him to go outside of his palace, you see, so that he should not see the evil in this world. So he was nurtured in the palace itself. So one day, when he had come to the age and his father was not in the palace, he went out and saw the sufferings. Some people are dying, some people are old age. He is crawling around. Some people are suffering, they're working hard, taking the dead body, some people lying sick. All these things, when he saw, the question came to his mind, why? Why all these things evil? Why God is doing all these things? So once when his father returned to the palace, he put the same question to his father. Why, father, I am living happily while my, you see, our citizens of the kingdom are suffering so much. His father could not give the answer. He told, go and collect, you see, a bowl of rice from the house where there is no tears. He went around begging for a bowl of rice. You see, even for a grain of rice, nobody could give him. You said him, because every house had tears. And when he returned empty-handed, he could not get his answer. He decided to quit his, life and went out to the forest to meditate and get the answer from the Lord. But okay, did he get the answer if you see? No. He never got the answer for it, dear brother. And similarly, many people who don't get the answer come to the conclusion that there is no God at all. Seeing the wonderful creation of the mighty stars, the sun, moon, and the various planets, who can say that there is no God, dear brethren? When all these things, creation is there, definitely there should be a creator. If there is a creator, then he must be having the wonderful plan. And the Bible is the only book that gives the answer for this question from the Bible. Dear brethren, today we're going to see the answer for it from the Bible. The Bible says that, dear brethren, God was created. You see, God created man in his own image. You see, in his own likeness. And gave him the dominion of the entire earth. So what do you mean by likeness? Does it mean that as God is, did he create the man in the same way? No. What does the Bible say? How is God? Let us read John 4:24. John 4:24. Sahija Budhar, can you read John 4:24? Sahija Budhar, are you there?
Yes, brother. Am I audible?
Clear, brother. John 4:24, brother.
God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth.
Very good. So God is a spirit. So he is not a fleshly body. He doesn't have a fleshly body like human beings. But he is a spirit being. You see, so God is a spirit being. He doesn't have a, you see, body like us. So we are fleshly beings. So there's a difference. And what is the meaning of likeness? Likeness means all the characters which God is having was in Adam when he was created. And the main feature of God's character is that he has a free will. He has his own free will, which he can exercise whichever way he wants. If he wants to decide and select good, he can do it. If he wants to select good, evil, he can do and select evil. This is the same way it is in this image that Adam was created. That means he had his own, you see, will where he could exercise towards good or towards bad. He was never created like a robot that you should only obey what God has told. He was made a free moral will agent, which he can exercise whichever way he wants. This is the image in which Adam was made, dear brethren. And you see, when Adam was created, God created Eve for Adam also. You see, from the, you see, ribs of Adam, you know, the cloning process, today we have in science, it was almost the same way that God, you see, made Eve out of Adam. So Eve came out of Adam only, and she was not separately created. Hence, all the creation of God, when God had originally created, were perfect. None of them had any defects or any, you see, imperfection in them. Everybody were perfect. Let us read Deuteronomy 32:4. Emmanuel, brother, can you read Deuteronomy 32:4?
Okay, Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A good God of truth and without inquiry, iniquity, just and right is he.
See, all his work is perfect. Every work of God is perfect. So, even Lucifer, when he was created, how was he created? If Bible says that all his works are perfect, then surely this creation of God also should have been perfect. But today the people have the imagination that Satan means Lucifer means how is he's having two horns, full black or full reddish in color, and his eyes is full of you see fire, red eyes, and he has four canine teeth, sharp canine teeth. And if you open his mouth, oh, fire will be coming like it as it comes out for the dragon, having sharp teeth, nails, you see, fingers, and he should be having a tail. You see, this is the imagination of how the Lucifer looks. You see, but what does the Bible say? All the works of God are perfect. Then surely, even Lucifer was created, he should have been created perfect, no? Let us see how Lucifer was created. Ezekiel 28:12. Ezekiel 28:12. Stephen, brother, can you read?
Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
Those sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Oho. Here, you see, how was Lucifer himself? He was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. But you may tell, brother, where is Lucifer is given? It says about king of Tyrus. Huh? Correct, no? But how come you are comparing it to Lucifer? You may tell. Read verse 13. Stephen, brother, read verse 13.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God.
Okay, brother. See, where was king of Tyrus? In the garden of Eden. Huh? Tyrus was in the garden of Eden. Now read verse 14 also, brother.
Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thine tabrets. Yes, and?
Okay. Continue.
It is not in display. Yeah.
If you have the Bible, you can read from the Bible. Verse 14.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting there, right there.
Okay.
Exactly to 28. Yeah, fine. 13, 14. Right. I'll read from the beginning there. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God.
Now read verse 14.
Was thine covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thine pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so.
See, what does the Bible
thou
say?
Thou was anointed cherub.
God anointed cherub. Now, how come king of Tyrus is a anointed cherub? Cherub is actually a reference to the angel. So here you see, who is the angel who was in Garden of Eden? You see,
Lucifer.
The anointed cherub. It was none other than Lucifer. We will see how Lucifer placed. You see, how was Lucifer, it seems? Here, the king of Tyrus is compared to Lucifer because of the character features, dear brethren. You see, so it was a type and anti-type. Remember the first class, how to study the Bible? We have seen the various languages in the Bible. One of the languages, type and anti-type. So here, similarly, you see, Lucifer was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. That is how Lucifer was created and placed in the Garden of Eden as an anointed cherub to protect man from falling further into sin. So Lucifer was beautiful to look at. You see, the Bible says that if Lucifer comes in front of us, we will, fall prostrate before him as if he's like an angel. See, the Bible says 2 Corinthians 11:14. Sai Jibudar, can you read 2 Corinthians 11:14?
Yes, sir. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light.
Satan himself is massacred as an angel of light. He himself is transformed as an angel of light. So, how is Satan to look at? Not a tail, horns and canine teeth. No, he is so beautiful. He looks like a beautiful, sparkling angel. You know, the Bible calls Lucifer as morning star. Read Isaiah 14, 12. Abhishek Badar, can you read Isaiah 14, 12?
Okay, I'll read. One second. Isaiah
14, 12.
How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? Which didst weaken the nation?
See,
for you,
how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? What is this Lucifer called as son of morning? You know, the word Lucifer actually means, you see, a morning star. That's what is called as son of morning. That means, what is this morning star? If you see, it is a reference given to planet Jupiter. Early in the morning, if you see in the sky, this planet Jupiter shines like a bright star, it seems. So this signifies the early creation of God. You see, who I created. And Lucifer was one of the early creations of God. Now, who is the other morning star in the Bible? Does anybody know? There is another morning star in the Bible.
Jesus himself. Jesus.
Jesus himself. Very good. Read, brother. Stephen, brother. Revelation 22:16.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
Bright and morning star. So Jesus is a bright morning star. Okay. If Jesus is also the morning star, Lucifer is also morning star, then they should be together now. Were they together at once upon a time? Yes. The Bible says when the creation of earth was happening, they were together. Read Job 38:6. Job 38:6. Binod brother, can you read Job 38:6?
Okay, sir. Job 38:6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning star sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
You see, what happens when the foundations for the earth was laid? What happened? The morning stars. Star means one. Stars means plural, multiple, two. If you see in the Bible, two morning stars, they sang together, it seems. That means what? Lucifer will be dark, black, and Jesus will be white. They'll be singing songs together. One with a tail, full of fiery eyes, full of fire in the mouth. They sang songs together. No, dear brother, he was a wonderful creation of God. He was also the morning star. He was an angel. You see, dear brother, they shouted with joy with all the angels when the earth was created. So this clearly proves that Lucifer was good until the creation of this earth. You see, and God had placed him in Garden of Eden, Ezekiel 28:14, though it anointed cherub, though was in Garden of Eden, after the creation of this earth, God had placed Lucifer, you see, upon earth as a guardian angel to protect mankind. When all these things were created, you see, God created Adam and Eve, you see, in his own image. And God put a test, you see, to see if they would remain faithful to God or not, isn't it? So just think, the newly created being, Adam and Eve, they were given the entire dominion of the earth. Just think about this one. God had never tested Adam and Eve. Without even testing their loyalty, the entire earth was given to them to have dominion, to be king and queen of this earth. You see, therefore, to test if they would really be faithful to God or not, God kept a small test, saying, you can eat freely of all the trees, but only of one tree you should never eat. Which is the tree? Which is the tree? Read Genesis 2:17. Emmanuel brother, please read Genesis 2:17.
Genesis 2:17. But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.
You see, you should not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not apple. You see, in the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. Everybody think that Adam ate that apple. So this is called as Adam's apple. No, Adam ate apple also. But this is not the fruit, forbidden fruit. You see, the forbidden fruit name was good and evil. Why that name good and evil? We see at the end of the subject. So just to check his loyalty, God had put a small test. Imagine if he joined for a company. On the day of joining, will they give lakhs of rupees for us to go and deposit in the bank? No. Why? Without proving our faithfulness to them, how will they give such a responsibility to us? Similarly, God, without testing Adam and Eve, given the entire dominion. So to test them, God told not to eat that fruit. And after placing Adam and Eve, what did God do? God had also placed Lucifer. And Lucifer was what? In the Garden of Eden. Was he king? Was he prince? No. The Bible says, Ezekiel 28:14, we just have read, that thou art an anointed cherub that covereth. Read Ezekiel 28:14. Sai Chibudar, read Ezekiel 28:14 in your Bible.
Yes, brother. You are anointed as a guardian cherub. For so I ordained you.
Guardian cherub. See, clearly told no, guardian cherub. So what was he guarding? The new couple. The new, you see, prince of this earth. He was supposed to be a guardian for them. Imagine, Lucifer, how was he? He was a morning star next to Jesus. Along with Jesus, he has laid the foundation for this earth. He should have given him the dominion to be king of this earth. He was made the guardian, like a watchman. While Adam and Eve were made princes, so he could not humble himself to such an extent to be a guardian angel. Hence, he thought of becoming the king himself. Like, for example, imagine if you are a manager of the company and suddenly if a boss comes and tells that from tomorrow you're not the manager, you should work like a watchman. How do we feel daily seeing our boss going and coming, saluting him? All sorts of evil thoughts will come in our mind. It was the same thing that came to Lucifer's mind. That is the time that you see evil generated in him. See, Ezekiel 28:15. Shall you brother continue? 28:15 also you read, brother.
You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you.
Till wickedness was found in you. You see, when was that found? After placing him in Garden of Eden, not before the brother. Not that he fell from heaven like that only and God threw him out and he came to and fell on heaven. No. God had placed him in Garden of Eden. That is the way he sinned. You see? Same way as we get multiple thoughts. Similarly, Lucifer also thought, I will be like the Most High. As God has established his own kingdom, I will also establish. Somehow, he thought to deceive this first king and queen and make them as his slaves so that he can be a king above them. Read Isaiah 14, chapter 13 and 14. Isaiah 30, 14, chapter 13 and 14. Stephen, brother, can you read?
Isaiah
14, chapter 13 and 14th verse.
14th chapter. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
So what was his thought in his heart? He thought, I will ascend the heaven. I will exalt my throne. I am now a guardian cherub, but I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. Who are the stars of God? Other stars, other angels, morning star. I will be higher than Jesus. I will put a throne. I will be a king. I will sit upon the mount of congregation, the sides of the north. All this detailed subject is there. We'll see in the future classes, God willing. Says, I will be like the Most High. How the God is the creator, he is the master of the universe, he is the emperor. Similarly, I will be the emperor of this earth. With this thought in his heart, he deceived Eve. How did he deceive Eve? By using a serpent. How? The Bible says that that the serpent came and spoke to Eve. Not really, did the serpent come and speak to Eve? No. The actions performed by a serpent were like words to Eve. Like, for example, see, what Lucifer would have done? Lucifer would have made the serpent to eat the forbidden fruit. And seeing this one, immediately a thought would have generated in the mind of Eve. You see? Huh? And you see, the questions automatically, spontaneously comes in our mind. You see, no need to speak. You see, automatically it comes out. Like, for example, imagine you're all sitting and listening to the classes. Imagine suddenly if a cockroach goes before you, what thoughts will generate in your mind? Certain bit of thoughts and I will come. Oh, cockroach is going. I should now go and eat. Oh, no, class is going on. Something will come. Isn't it? So same way, you see, when he made the forbidden fruit to be eaten by the serpent, he put a question in the mind of Eve. Had God really said that you should not eat of that tree? Immediately he would have reasoned in her mind and said, yes, surely God has said, you see, that you should not eat. But why the serpent is eating and still alive? This thought also would have come in Eve, no? Then Satan would have replied, "I or you shall surely not die. You will not die. You see, serpent is dying. It is still alive, no? You will see it. Nothing will happen." Then again, the question would have come. Then why did God tell not to eat? God could have told not to eat, no? Then why did God tell? For this one, Satan replied, saying, "You shall be like God. God fears that you shall be like God. That is the reason God is forbidding you to eat this good thing." Imagine. Immediately she thought, if I can be like God, that's very good. No, that is the reason she ate the fruit. You know, this is the first question in the world. You know, in the Bible, you can't see any questions before this one. This is the first question in the Bible. Now, how did the question come? It came through the serpent. That is the reason the question mark, even today, is put like a serpent's hood. Why serpent's hood? See, all the other punctuation marks is different. This punctuation mark is just exactly like the serpent should, because this has come out from the serpent. And as you see, Eve was motivated to eat this fruit. Then who ate? Adam ate the fruit. Then, you see, so who was deceived? Adam or Eve? Huh? Let us see what the Bible says. You see, 1 Timothy 2:14. Abhishek brother, please read. 1 Timothy 2:14.
Okay, I'll read. 1 minute. One time. I'm starting.
Screen bada padha na.
Theek hi ho mama.
Screen bada hi padhu na screen bada.
Lo, jumar pata rahe ma.
Okay, somebody else can read. Not a issue. Somebody else, please read.
And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner.
Very good, Buddha. So Adam was not deceived. It was actually Eve that was deceived by the serpent. But Adam clearly knew that if he eats the forbidden fruit, he will surely die. Then why did Adam eat? You know, why Adam ate? Adam actually committed suicide. He knew very well that if I eat the fruit, I'll definitely die. Because he knew also very well that Eve has eaten the fruit and she will die. If she dies, if she goes, what will be his condition? He will be alone in Garden of Eden. That is the reason Adam decided to die with Eve. That was the first love story in the whole world, dear brethren. Today we have heard so many love stories, no? Laila Majnu, Hiranjana, Romeo, Juliet. In spite of having so many girls in this world, much beautiful than the one whom they loved, they still even die for that only one girl. You see, as if there is no other girl at all. Huh? Imagine what can poor Adam do? She was the only one there. Huh? So he decided to die with Eve. And he did not have so much of faith on God that if Eve dies, God will definitely give him one more Eve. Hence, Adam ate the forbidden fruit. Once Adam ate the forbidden fruit, sin entered into the world and they both were cast out of Garden of Eden. Where were they cast out? What was the condition of the earth? Let us read Genesis 3:17. Binod brother, can you read Genesis 3:17?
Okay, sir. I will read Genesis 3:17. And on to Adam, he said, "Because thou hadst hearkened unto the..." I didn't understand. Sir.
Can I read?
Read from the Bible. I think the screen is covering a little bit.
3:17. "And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thine wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat a herb of the field. In the sweat of thine face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return.
See, Adam was cast out from the Garden of Eden into the unfinished earth. The whole earth was not in the Garden of Eden in condition. You have to underline it. It was only the garden that is in Eden that was like a beautiful garden, but not the entire earth. The entire earth was in an unfinished condition. Hence, God cast them out into this unfinished earth and said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. You shall eat the bread of thy bread with sorrow and with much sweat, and the ground shall bring thorns and thistles, dear brethren. So Adam was cast off into the unfinished earth, dear brethren. So lot of sufferings, each and every death, each and every pain, sorrow, sickness, everything. You see, this was a package which God had given to Adam. And we all know very well that it was not only Adam that was condemned, it was the entire race of mankind that was condemned, dear brethren. Today, you see, mankind, you see, are dying more in death due to war than due to natural disasters, dear brethren. More people die in war than in natural disasters. Like, for example, we know that Osama bin Laden. You see, we all know that Osama bin Laden was a great terrorist. But few people only know that he was one of the CIA of America. He worked as a James Bond for America. But due to some small misunderstanding, he revolted against Americans for whom he worked for many years. Dear brethren, and that is how, what happened? A small friction of words became a war. Even today also, that war is continuing in various ways, dear brethren, just because of one few words. Why? Because of man's selfishness. Because of some ego, this war, you see. And lot of earthquakes happen in this world. Why? That is due to because of excess mining, you see. And floods happen. Why? We also saw a tsunami in a Himalayan region, Uttarakhand and all. Why? Because of deforestation. If you keep on just chopping off all the trees and all, if the rain comes, what will happen? Everything will come to the city in the form of flood, dear brethren. So this is all man-made disasters, dear brethren. So all these things are due to man's selfishness. Okay. What does the Bible say? Let us read Isaiah 66:1. Isaiah 66:1. Emmanuel brother, can you read Isaiah 66:1?
Okay, Isaiah 66:1. This is what the Lord said. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be?
Thank you, brother. The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. That's what God says. What is the meaning of that? Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Does it look like this one, that God is sitting in heaven and putting his leg on the earth? No. Earth is a footstool means, actually it's got a meaning. Footstool in the Bible actually means a place of learning. We all know very well, in the olden days, the teachers, the gurus, they used to sit on this chair or a throne like this one. And for the feet, they used to have a small stool, you see. And before, in the front of that stool itself, you see, on the floor, all the disciples used to sit, you see. And that place where the disciples used to sit, that was called as footstool or gurukul. You see, in the gurukul, the footstool, you see, that was, it was called as. Similarly, Apostle Paul learned at the feet of Gamaliel. The Bible says, read Acts 22:3. Binod brother, can you read Acts 22:3? Binod brother, you're there?
Shall I?
Okay, Steve brother, read.
Acts 22:3. I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manners of the Jew of the law of the fathers, and was
zealous towards God as you all are this day.
Zealous towards God as you all are this day.
Thank you, brother. So he says, Apostle Paul was brought up at the city at the feet of Gamaliel. So what do you mean by feet of Gamaliel? Did he really sit next to his feet and learn? That means a place of learning, dear brother. And so similarly, when God says, earth is my footstool, heaven is my throne, earth is footstool, that means earth is a place of learning. Now, what does it mean by place of learning? You see, to teach somebody some things, there are actually four methods. So this is being taught in the school, sir. I don't know about you or this one. When we were in the school, this was taught. You see, the four methods of teaching. The first method is called as intuition. Intuition means there is no need for anybody to teach this is good, this is bad. You see, the evil and good, the difference between evil and good. Automatically, a person knows about this one. And this quality of intuition, only God is having. There is no need for anybody to teach God that this is good and this is evil. He knows everything. Okay, but this quality, man doesn't have. So, if Adam has to be taught what is good and what is evil, these four choices was there. Now, the first choice is not applicable to him because this quality is only applicable to God. Okay, next one. The second one is advice. Okay. Now, God had really advised him not to eat the forbidden fruit. So, once you eat the forbidden fruit, what will happen? Sin and death will enter into the world. So, advice did not actually work in the case of Adam. So, this failed. The third one was observation. If Adam had someone else to see in the Garden of Eden, to see and watch what actually sin and death means, he would have never ate the forbidden fruit. Isn't it? Adam had no other people. He was the first creation of God. So he was the one who first sinned. He did not have the option to see somebody else and know what is the meaning of sin and what are its results so that he may choose only good. So this one was a failure in Adam. But this, which is failure in mankind, is successful in the angels. Because angels don't have the condition of sin and death among them, but they are learning this from the conditions which are happening in mankind. Read 1 Corinthians 4:9. Saiji Buddha, can you read 1 Corinthians 4:9?
Yes, brother. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, the angels as well as to human beings.
We have made spectacle to the whole universe, even to the angels, even to human beings, and even to mankind. Is made a spectacle. The angels are seeing what all is happening among mankind and learning the lesson. You see, dear brethren. So this third choice of teaching somebody about good and evil, you see, it was successful among the angels, but it was not successful among Adam, mankind. The last thing was experience. You see, dear brethren, Adam sinned in Garden of Eden because he did not have experience. If he really had experience about what actually evil was and what actually evil will be, really, really, dear brethren, he wouldn't have ate the forbidden fruit at all. So experience, moreover, is such a thing that it can't be infused into somebody, dear brethren. We can't infuse it, you see. It has to be gained by going through the process, dear brother. And sir, as soon as we go for an interview, what is the first thing they ask? They ask, what's your experience? Why? Because with lack of experience, you could probably, possibly, completely spoil the entire company. That is the reason. Experience is very, very important thing. This can't be infused or put into somebody. This has to be gained. Adam sinned against God, you see, because of lack of experience. God permitted evil in this world because he knew That Adam, with a lack of experience, would definitely commit sin. Hence, God had created only Garden of Eden in a beautiful condition, the rest of the world in an unfinished condition. So as soon as when he sinned, he sent out to the unfinished earth so to be suffer and learn and gain experience, so that he may know the value of what it actually means to be good. Therefore, you know, God also knew that Adam, how he has committed sin against God. Even Adam's children would also definitely commit sin against God. Why? Father has sinned because of lack of experience. Similarly, the whole world, his entire children also will sin without experience. Hence, God decided to permit evil, you see, in this world through Adam upon everybody. Hence, each and every human being were allowed to die in Adam. Read Romans 5:12. Stephen, brother, can you read Romans 5:12?
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon the entire humankind, and all have sinned.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, you see. And so death passed upon all men, all. God, you see, condemned everybody into death through one man, Adam. You see, because God knew, as Adam has sinned without lack of experience, similarly the whole mankind will also sin without experience. Hence, everybody were permitted to die in Adam. See, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Abhishek, brother, can you read 1 Corinthians 15:22?
Okay, I'll read. First Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive.
See, that is the reason it says, for as in Adam all die. All the people are dying in Adam, not because of the individual sin, dear brethren. Read Jeremiah 31st chapter 29 and 30. Binod, brother, are you there? Can you read Jeremiah 31, 29 and 30?
Okay, sir. Jeremiah 31, 29, 30. In those days they shall say no more, the father have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but every one shall die for his own antiquity. Every man that eaten the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Amen.
In those days, they shall say no more, that the fathers have eaten the sour grape. Children's teeth are set on the edge. Who is the father? A father, Adam, ate the forbidden fruit. Because of which, our teeth is set on the edge. Everybody, every people are dying in Adam. But in Christ's kingdom, it won't be like that one. Everybody will die for their own sin, dear brethren. Hence, everybody are dying in Adam. Okay. Now, why did not God forgive Adam? God could have forgiven Adam, no? It was his first sin. Just imagine the new couple. They don't have anything. They don't know anything. It is the first sin they have sinned. God could have forgiven them, no? Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7. Yeah? This is the first sin which they committed, no? God could have forgiven, no? Why did not God forgive? Why? Because if God would have forgiven Adam that day, then the lie which Satan told would have been true. And Adam and Eve would have lacked more faith on God. They would have lost that faith. Oh, then they would have thought what actually Satan said was true. And moreover, dear brethren, you see, if God had forgiven Adam, it would be God's justice. Then what actually God told would have been a lie. That in the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. That would have been a lie. Okay. Then why God condemned everybody? You see, dear brethren, God knew that as Adam has sinned, you see, if God has forgiven Adam, then what will happen? Next, the generation of Adam will come. Children of Adam will come. They also will commit sin. will also come and ask excuse from God. God, you have forgiven my father Adam now. Forgive me also. I will also commit on sin. If God keeps on forgiving like this one, then where will be the justice of God? That is the reason God did not forgive them for this small sin, dear brethren. Hence, the whole world are dying in Adam. The world, each and every grave is a witness of it. Okay. Now, what is the use of it? Now, what is the use of God permitting this one evil in this world? What use does it make? Dear brethren, we all know, you see, the meaning of antidote. You know, whenever we take any poisonous chemical, at the backside of it, there's a diamond, you see, a logo that is put. You know, for each and every chemical, there is an antidote. You see, for each and every poison, there is an antidote. What is the poison? What is antidote? The poison is a thing which causes harm. But antidote is a thing which nullifies the effect of that poison. When God permitted in evil in this world, dear brethren, he had an antidote in his hand. He had this one, then only permitted evil to come upon this world, dear brethren. You know, who is that antidote? It is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He had Jesus Christ in his hand. Hence, he permitted evil to come in this world. Hence, Jesus is called as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Read Revelation 13:8. Stephen, brother, can you read Revelation 13:8?
All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. 1 minute, sir.
Okay, somebody else can read Revelation 13:8.
Yeah. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Even before the foundation was laid for the earth, God had decided that he should give Jesus as a sacrifice to redeem the entire mankind. Hence, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That means God had planned beautifully everything, dear brethren. What is the plan of God? The beautiful plan of God is mentioned in the name of the fruit which Adam and Eve ate. Now you tell me, what is the name of the fruit which Adam and Eve ate? Who can tell me? Who will answer me? Tell me. Nobody knows, sir. What is the name of the fruit which Adam and Eve ate?
Knowledge of good and evil.
Knowledge of good and evil. Binod brother, Abhishek brother, Saiju brother. Emmanuel brother, what is the name of the fruit?
Knowledge of good and evil.
Knowledge of good and evil. Now, why this name is given for this fruit? Have you ever wondered? Entire subject is there in that one only. You know, what is the meaning of knowledge of good and evil? You see, through Adam, the entire mankind is tasting today only bad, only evil. For how many years? For a period of 6,000 years. For a period of 6,000 years in Adam, the entire mankind are suffering evil, evil, evil. That evil portion, that bad, knowledge of bad, knowledge of evil, the mankind is gaining from that fruit. But the other part is also there, no? Knowledge of good and evil. Evil they are tasting now. So when will the man can taste good? They will taste good at the second coming of Jesus. When Jesus returns the second coming, he will rule on this earth for a period of 1,000 years, dear brethren. Then the entire mankind will be resurrected and brought back to life on this earth. Then they will learn and understand the good portion of this fruit, dear brethren. You know, therefore, what the Bible says that this evil period of 6,000 years compared to night, and the Christ 1,000 years is compared to morning in the Bible. Let us read Psalms 30, verse 5. Psalms 30, verse 5. Abhishek, brother, can you read Psalms 30, verse 5?
Psalms Psalms 30,
verse 5.
For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
See, what is it? His anger is for a moment, but his favor is everlasting life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How come joy comes in the morning? Sadness comes in the morning. Whenever we wake early in the morning, we need to go to office, work, school. We get a morning happened. But when the night comes, we sleep happily. But this verse is actually speaking about the night of sickness and sin of 6,000 years. It is only for a moment. But joy cometh in the morning. When the morning has to come, the sun has to rise. Who is the sun in the Bible? Who is the sun in the Bible?
Jesus,
the son of righteousness, Malachi 4, chapter 1, 2, and 3. He will arise with healing in his wings and heal and bless everybody. He will wipe out every tears from everybody's eyes. Revelation 21, 4. Revelation 21, 4. Emmanuel, brother, can you read Revelation 21, 4?
Revelation 21, 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
See, the former things have passed away, dear brethren. So all the world things will pass away. This is the kingdom that God is going to establish on earth. Last week we saw the stone which came and hit became a huge mountain. What did Jesus say? Jesus went to each and every city and preached about this kingdom. You see, dear brethren, therefore the Bible says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. The Bible also says that God is going to make this footstool a beautiful, glorious place. Read Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13. Saiji brother, can you read Isaiah 60, verse 13?
Yes, brother. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the fire, and the cypress together to adorn my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place for my feet.
I will make the place of my feet glorious. Which is his place for his feet? Heaven is his throne, earth is my footstool. That will be made glorious again at Jesus' second coming. Okay. Now, we all clearly understood why God has permitted evil so that mankind may gain experience. Now you answer the question, why God allowed evil first and then is going to allow good first? Why has he allowed a 6,000 years of evil first, then 1,000 years of good later? Why? God could have done the reverse order, no? God could have allowed 6,000 years of good and later on 1,000 years of evil he could have allowed, no? Why did not God do it? Tell me, who can answer? Let me see. Who will answer? Why God permitted evil first rather than good?
That evil may perish and goodness be forever eternal.
Okay, how? You're almost correct, but how?
The path of ungodly leads to destruction, but the path of godly leads to eternal life.
Okay. Anybody else? Saji brother?
Sorry, brother.
Okay. Emmanuel brother, want to give a try? Stephen brother?
Everything will be restored. That's why. All that was now in the fall shall be restored in the millennium.
Okay, good. We will see. Thank you. Why God permitted evil first and later good? Because without the knowledge of evil, there is always a chance to sin against God. But with the knowledge of evil, there's always a lesser possibility that you will sin again. Like, for example, I'll tell you. Like, for example, we saw the four methods of, you see, learning good and evil. Correct? The first method, intuition. Let us take example of cigarette smoking. You know, tell me, is cigarette smoking good or bad? Tell me, is cigarette smoking good or bad?
Bad, of course.
Bad. You so much reasoning means you all want to drink. Share. See, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. But how many people have this intuition? Some people have. No, it's not good for our health. We should not ever smoke. Okay? So intuition works in some people. But still some people advise. You know, some people, they just obey the advice of the elders. Should not smoke. You see, they would have put on each and every cigarette pack with the color photo, they would put no cigarette smoking causes cancer. It is injurious for health. So people won't smoke. So for some people, this advice is itself okay. But some people will tell, hey, what will happen? Nothing will happen. See, my grandfather, he is smoking for 80 years, he's still healthy. For those people, observation is required. If they take them to cancer hospital and see what all things are happening, some people will observe and leave it. Oh, don't want to, if we smoke, all these things will happen. Better don't smoke. Still, some people are there. They won't even quit at all until they get that experience. Once they get, you see, that the tumor and cancer. And imagine if all the treatment is given and if cancer is cured. For the person who has gained that experience, if we offer him crores and crores of rupees and tell him to just smoke only for once, will he smoke? Tell me, will he smoke?
No.
He won't smoke. Why? Because he has that experience of going through the cancer treatment after suffering so much. Who will choose to smoke again? No. That is the value of experience. It is the same with sin. God has permitted evil in this world for 6,000 years, so mankind may gain that complete experience of evil. You see, thorough experience, so that when good is permitted, they may choose between good and evil and select only good. That is the reason so many people fed up and commit suicide. Why? They want only good. They don't want evil. Therefore, God permitted evil. All the entire points what I told you, it is given in just two verses in the Bible. Romans 8 chapter verse 20 and 21. Let us read Romans 8 chapter 20 and 21. Let us read one by one and go. Who can read Revelation Romans 8 20 and 21? Can somebody read?
For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it.
Evil that is permitted in this world, you see, it was not permitted willingly. Oh, they should always commit sin, you should believe. No. It was permitted to suffer with the hope of who permitted it. God permitted it, no? He had a hope. He has a plan. It is because of that plan that is allowed evil to work in this world. What is his plan? Continue, Buddha.
That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God.
What is his plan? That one day all the people who are suffering shall be liberated, shall be delivered from this bondage and become the children of God. That is the reason God wanted man to gain this experience. Hence, he has permitted evil in this world. Therefore, whenever we see evil in this world, let us remember these verses and remember the plan of God, that God has got a beautiful plan. That plan, God wants each and every mankind to gain experience and the 1,000 years. So in the 1,000 years they may choose good. Okay, Lord, and the blessings upon these words. Anybody has got any questions, any doubts, you can ask.